Iran underlines peaceful nature of the country's nuclear energy program. Syrian army successfully concludes first phase of its operation in the strategic western city of Busayr. Saudi women hold a massive demo against the Al Saud regime in the country's oil-rich eastern province. French authorities are start interrogating International Monetary Fund chief for fraud. An angry youth torch a restaurant and more than 30 cars in Sweden in protest against the police shooting of a 69-year-old man. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, the Iranian ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency has reiterated the peaceful nature of the country's nuclear energy program. Ali Asghar Sultaniyeh said Tehran is determined to continue its cooperation with the IAEA. Sultaniyeh stressed that the IAEA inspector's failure to find any diversion in Iran's nuclear activities is in fact a very clear document to prove that all those allegations against Iran by the West are forged and fabricated.
After 10 years of the most robust inspection in the history of IAEA, no evidence of diversion of nuclear material or nuclear activities to the prohibited purposes have found, and everything remains peaceful. This is in fact a very clear document to prove that all those allegations against Iran are forged and fabricated. The fact that we are negotiating with IAEA on possible military dimension allegations, this is beyond our obligation under NPT. And it is proving our political determination to work with IAEA in order to remove any ambiguities.
That was Ali Asghar Sultaniyeh, Iran's ambassador to the International Atomic Energy Agency. Now the Iranian Foreign Ministry has dismissed a claim by the Bahraini officials about spotting an Iranian unmanned aerial vehicle in the country's airspace. The ministry issued a statement rejecting the allegation on Thursday while urging Manama to meet the growing demands of its people instead of leveling baseless accusations against the Islamic Republic. The statement came in response to the recent claims by some Bahraini officials accusing Iran of sending a spy drone over the Persian Gulf Kingdom. Now, the Speaker of Iran's Majlis or the Parliament has congratulated the Lebanese nation officials and the resistance movement of Hezbollah on the anniversary of the liberation of South Lebanon from the Zionist occupation in 2000. In a message to Hezbollah Secretary General Seyyed Hassan Nasrallah on Thursday, Ali Larijani noted that this victory showed the importance and the role of anti-Zionist resistance in the political scene of Lebanon and the region. He added that the people in the region have fully realized that the cancerous tumor of the Zionist regime is not content with the occupation of Palestine and Lebanon. In a separate message, Larijani also congratulated his Lebanese counterpart Nabil Berri on the occasion. Now, the Syrian army has successfully concluded the first phase of its operation in the strategic western city of Busayr. According to reports in the city, an unknown number of security agents from different foreign countries have been detained or killed during the operations. Syrian forces have inflicted major losses on the militants in Busayr, destroying their weaponry and equipment. The Syrian army has also found several caches of weapons, mostly containing Zionist regime-made ammunition. The senior commander of the terrorist group Al-Nusra Front, Abu Umar, was among those killed in battle on May 21st. Meanwhile, the Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab African Affairs has congratulated the Syrian people and the army on their success in busting terrorist networks in the country. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said on Thursday the Syrian people, through their brave resistance, disappointed their enemies. Amir Abdullahian further condemned the statement released by foreign ministers of 11 countries in Jordan who fully backed Syrian opposition forces. The Iranian official further clarified that Iran spares no effort to stop violence and help initiate national dialogue between the Syrian government and opposition forces who believe in resolving the dispute through diplomatic channels. Elsewhere in the Middle East, Saudi women have held a massive demonstration against the Al-Saud regime in the country's oil-rich eastern province. On Thursday, large crowds of female demonstrators chanted anti-regime slogans in the Qatif region, situated about 418 kilometers east of the capital Riyadh, and condemned the regime's suppression of political dissent. They also expressed solidarity with Bahrainis and slammed Riyadh's military intervention in Bahrain to quell pro-democracy protests. Since February 2011, protesters have held demonstrations on an almost regular basis in Saudi Arabia, mainly in Qatif and Awamiya in eastern province, calling for the release of all political prisoners, freedom of expression, and an end to widespread discrimination. And here's a recap of our top stories. Iran underlines peaceful nature of the country's nuclear energy program. Syrian army successfully concludes first phase of its operation in the strategic western town of Qusair. Saudi women hold a massive demo against the Al-Saud regime in the country's oil-rich eastern province. French authorities start interrogating International Monetary Fund chief for fraud. And angry youth torch a restaurant and more than 30 cars in Sweden in protest against the police shooting of a 69-year-old man. Now, French authorities are interrogating International Monetary Fund chief Christine Lagarde in connection with a controversial payout to a French tycoon during her term as France's finance minister. The 57-year-old appeared in France's Court of Justice of the Republic on Thursday, which investigates cases of ministerial misconduct. The court is probing Lagarde's handling of a dispute in 2007 that resulted in 400 million euros payment to a former politician and controversial business figure. The court suspects that the business figure was granted the treatment in return for backing former President Nicolas Sarkozy in the 2007 presidential race. Now, angry youth have torched a restaurant and more than 30 cars in the suburbs of the Swedish capital in protest against the police shooting of a 69-year-old man. At least 30 cars were set on fire in western and southern Stockholm on Thursday. Police said a restaurant south of the capital was also burnt down in the fourth night of the unrest. Officials said at least 3 police officers were injured as the angry youth pelted them with the stones. The unrest began in Husby suburb on Sunday, days after police shot dead an elderly man who had locked himself in an apartment in the poor neighborhood west of Stockholm. Now, hundreds of protesters staged a rally in central Athens protesting and condemning violence against Muslims in the country. Our correspondent has the scoop.
The crescendo of racist violence and social tension is continuing relentlessly in Greece. In this context, the Muslim Association of Greece has asked police and judicial authorities to investigate further into a letter sent to its headquarters in the Neos Kosmos neighborhood of Athens, threatening violence against Muslims in Greece. The letter is indeed very shocking, noting that they have to shut down their brothels and go to hell by June 30th, or they will face attacks everywhere in the streets. In an exclusive statement to Irene TV, the vice president of the Pakistani community in Greece noted that the Muslim community is indeed worried and that they now expect the Greek state to protect them. The letter, which was unsigned but typed on paper bearing the logo of the extreme right Golden Dawn Party, says in Greek, English and Arabic that from July 1st onwards, those who are still here, meaning in Greece, will be slaughtered like chickens on the road. As a reaction, the Muslim Association called on authorities to ensure that all citizens can enjoy equality in the eyes of the law and that they will not be prey to an asymmetric threat. In a statement to our channel, the president of the Muslim Association noted that Muslims are not afraid of threats. As a result of the letter, the organization decided to step up security at its premises in Athens. Members of the community noted that they would place CCTV cameras at their headquarters and rely on police to guard outside the building. As they underlined, the letter could be described as a dangerous but serious joke, yet the language used suggested it was written by an adult with real intentions. This is the first time an explicit threat against Muslims in Greece take place. There is an important population of Muslim Greeks, that is, Greek citizens of Muslim faith living in the crisis-hit, debt-strapped country, especially in the northeastern provinces.
In a racist crescendo of oral, verbal and physical attacks against the Muslim community in Greece, racism is indeed on the rise and explained by most analysts nowadays as a direct product of the economic crisis. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athen.
Now, Russian officials on Thursday set out Moscow's position on anti-missile defense, military cooperation and crisis management issues in a two-day conference on European security. Russia has warned the West at the conference that Moscow reserves the right to take steps in response to the US-led NATO missile defense plans for Europe if it sees it as a threat.
If we want to get rid of mutual suspicions regarding one another's intentions, it is necessary to jointly analyze existing risks and to work out really collective, common approaches toward their removal, rather than to impose unilateral decisions while presenting them as solely correct. This applies to anti-missile defense, long-term military planning, and crisis management.
Back in the Middle East, a bomb attack targeting security forces in southwestern Pakistan has left at least 13 people dead and nearly 2,000 others wounded. Pakistani police said on Thursday the bomb, which was planted in a car parked along a road, tore through a vehicle transporting security forces on the outskirts of the city of Quetta, the capital of Balochistan province. There has been no claim of responsibility for the bombing. However, pro-Taliban militant groups are often blamed for bomb attacks in Pakistan. Pakistan has experienced unrelenting violence since the country joined an alliance with the United States in Washington's so-called war on terror. Now, a severe tornado hit a town in Tula region, 193 kilometers south of Moscow, on Thursday morning, injuring at least 20 people and causing widespread damage. Electricity poles were downed by the tornado, and heavy damage was caused to the buildings. Officials said up to 200 houses and 100 cars were damaged. Weather experts say the tornado was caused by unusually high temperatures for May.
The sky became dark, and after that you couldn't see anything. The windows started to break. The window frames couldn't even hold the windows. Just 5 minutes, and everything was blown away.
Activists from a charity platform staged a protest outside Royal Dutch Shell's shareholders' meeting in London against mass pollution in Niger Delta, which they blame Shell for. The protesters urged Shell chief executive officer to quit his job as soon as possible.
Before he leaves office, finally, I want him to right some of the wrongs. He has to set the agenda for cleaning up of the mess. I'm forgetting about profit. Let's talk about life, and the environment. I think that's what I would like him to do, so that he can go and retire in peace. Otherwise, the assassinated environment and lives will haunt him for life.
Peter Voss has said that he wants to take some time to spend with his family, but people in the Niger Delta are fighting for a livable future for their families. So maybe with more time, he'll have time to reflect about his time as CEO and the problems that Shell have caused.
And finally, British police have been investigating a murderous attack in London, which they describe as a possible act of terror. Police said three men were involved in the attack, two of whom was dead and the two others were seriously injured. The attack took place in Woolwich, South East London, near a military camp, and the dead man was a British soldier who was beheaded by a knife-wielding attacker. One of the men involved in the attack was filmed at the scene by a local TV with a meat cleaver in his hand. The attacker, who spoke clear English with a London accent, is then seen walking towards his victim, lying on the street. The two attackers were faced with the intervening armed officers and were arrested. That's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.